Chapter 2.
What's happened to my drone? Ida thrust the joysticks back and forth. She pounded the screen. She pushed the middle control as far as it would go, but it was no use. The screen remained dark. I can't control it. That dog ate it.
Dagnabbit, we've got to get that drone,
Ruth said.
Yeah, my grandson is going to kill me, Ida added.
Your grandson? Nance fisted her hands on her hips. I hardly think that's the most important thing. That drone holds the video that can prove we just witnessed a murder.
That's right. We need to call the police.
Helen lunged for the vintage turquoise princess phone Nance kept for her landline.
Call them? Why do that when we have a direct line to Jack?
Ruth pointed at Lexi.
Right, well...
Lexi glanced at her cell phone. She had an agreement with her husband, Jack, a homicide detective in the Brook Ridge Police Department. No phone calls during working hours, unless it was an emergency.
Is this an emergency?
Someone appeared to be dead, after all, but the circumstances under which they'd witnessed it were a little iffy. Besides, wouldn't a neighbor or someone have seen the body and already called the police? Even though Nance and the ladies ran a private investigator service, the Brook Ridge Falls Ladies Detective Club, and they sometimes did help Jack on cases, he usually took a dim view of them butting into his police work uninvited. And Lexi was sure that Nance was already planning on doing some butting in where this case was concerned. If there even was a case, maybe the woman wasn't dead? Though she sure had looked it, and there was no doubt she had been pushed.
I could text him, Lexi offered.
That won't do. Besides, I think we need to see him face to face. This is an urgent matter. A killer could be getting away with murder. We need to get down to the police station right away.
Nan's eyes flicked over to the scones piled up on the dining room table.
We'll just pack some of those up to go.
The ladies bustled over to the table. Taking the large embossed napkins from their place settings, they unfolded them and laid them flat on the table. Then each of them picked out a scone, set it in the napkin, folded it back up, and shoved the whole thing into her giant patent leather purse. The whole process only took a couple of seconds. They'd had lots of experience. Nance rushed to the door, turned, and looked inquisitively at Lexi.
Well, are you going to drive us or not?
Yeah, come on, Lexi.
Ruth grabbed her elbow.
We'll give you our verdict on the scones on the way over.
Lexi grabbed her keys with a sigh and followed them out to the parking lot, where they somehow managed to pack themselves into her VW Beetle. The rustle of napkins serenaded her from the back seat.
These are good, Lexi.
Nance mumbled beside her, the napkin spread on her lap.
I got the cranberry orange. It needs a little bit more orange, I think, dear,
Ida said.
You need to come up with a chocolate scone,
Helen said. Then she added apologetically,
though this apple cinnamon one is delicious. She could have put a little bit more of the granulated sugar on top, don't you think?
Ruth asked. She pulled into the police station, and Nance, Ruth, Ida, and Helen hopped out, practically running to the door. Lexi followed at a slower pace, feeling a niggle of trepidation about Jack's reaction. Hopefully he would be happy to have witnesses to a case, and not wary about Nance and the gang butting in to try and solve it themselves, which Lexi was sure they would do. The Brook Ridge Police Station was a utilitarian brick building that had been in town since the early part of the 20th century. The lobby had been updated in bland vanilla industrial. It had a row of orange plastic chairs to the left of the entrance and a receptionist desk across from it. It smelled of paperwork and pastrami sandwiches.
The ladies had already breezed past the receptionist and were making a beeline for Jack's office by the time Lexi got inside. They hovered in his doorway, casting glances back at Lexi as she approached. They parted when she got to his door, as if her presence was going to get him to take them more seriously. Jack sat at his desk, his left brow quirked up, his eyes drifting from Nance to Ruth to Ida to Helen, and then coming to rest on Lexi. Lexi quirked her lips in something that she hoped looked like a smile, but really felt like a grimace. "Hi."
"What a pleasant surprise," Jack said tentatively, then pushed up from his desk and came around to give Lexi a quick peck on the cheek.
He took her hand and squeezed it, then gestured for Nance, Ruth, Ida, and Helen to fight over the two available chairs. Ida and Ruth won, so Nance and Helen leaned against the wall. Judging by the way Nance tapped her foot impatiently, Lexi figured she couldn't wait to get down to business. Jack dropped Lexi's hand and leaned his hip on the corner of the green metal desk as he studied them, a hint of amusement in his honey brown eyes.
"Okay, I know this isn't just a social call. What's going on?"
"We've witnessed a murder," Nance blurted out.
Jack's face turned serious. He glanced back at his computer.
"Really? I didn't get any calls about a murder. Are you sure?"
"The body probably hasn't been discovered yet," Ruth said.
Jack's eyes narrowed.
"But if you saw it happen, wouldn't you have stayed and called the police? You know better than to leave the scene of a crime."
Nance shuffled her feet.
"Well, we weren't actually there."
Jack crossed his arms over his chest.
"I see. This is one of those hunches, right?"
He glanced at Lexi for confirmation.
"No, we saw it. It's just...
well, it's complicated," Lexi said.
"Why don't you back up and tell me exactly how, when, and where this happened?"
Jack suggested. At least he wasn't dismissing them right away. Nance leaned forward. She was in full-on detective persona, her voice taking on an official tone.
"Well, you see, Ida had a drone from her grandson, Jason, and we were flying it around the neighborhood."
Jack held up his palm.
"Wait a minute, a drone?"
"Yeah, you know, one of those things they use to take videos of real estate," Ida cut in. "Jason's a big real estate developer, as you might remember."
"Yes, I remember. Okay, go on then. You were flying this drone..."
Nance continued.
"We were checking out the Kingsleys, where Lexi is going to be doing that big catering job on Wednesday. Except Ida didn't really know how to work the controls."
Ida frowned at Nance.
"I was working them pretty darn good."
Nance shot a wrinkle-browed look at Ida.
"The thing was jerking all over the place, and you were going in the wrong direction." "You practically ruined Vera's hairdo,"
Ruth added. Ida stood facing Ruth and Nance, her hands on her hips.
"Well, it was my first time, and I was just getting..."
"Ladies,"
Jack cut in, and everyone turned to look at him.
"Let's get back to the murder."
Ida sat down, and Nance continued with the story.
"So, anyway... it just so happens that writer lady lives right behind the Kingsleys. Olive Pendleton?"
Nance paused to see if Jack recognized the name. He nodded, so she continued.
"We wanted to get a gander at her house, and there she was, out on a balcony, up on the very top floor." "Tell him the important part," Ida cut in. "She was trying to get a dog off the roof."
"A dog on the roof?"
Jack's gaze shifted to Lexi. His right brow quirked up as if seeking confirmation. Lexi nodded, and his eyes flicked back to Nance.
"What was a dog doing on the roof?"
he asked.
Nan shrugged. How should I know? She has a pack of them. Little fluffy things. I don't know what they are. Peek-a-poos, Ruth informed them.
When everyone looked at her strangely, she just shrugged and said,
My sister-in-law has one. They're a mix between a Pekingese and a poodle.
Anyway, one was on the roof, and the woman was leaning out to get it, Nan said.
And she fell? Jack went to the other side of his desk and looked at his computer screen. There would be an ambulance call.
Oh, no, she didn't fall.
Nan's leaned toward Jack and paused dramatically.
She was pushed. Well, hit over the head, actually.
Jack looked up sharply. You saw someone hit her over the head? Can you describe them?
Everyone glanced at each other nervously.
Not exactly. We didn't see all of him, Ruth said.
What do you mean?
We were watching on the LCD screen of the controller.
Helen glanced at Ida apologetically.
It was a little hard to see since the drone wasn't flying so smoothly, and things were a little blurry. But a hand came out from the window and clobbered her on the head with a baseball bat.
Ida straightened in her chair, shooting a sideways glance at Helen.
We could see good enough, but only his arm was visible.
That's right, Nan said.
The arm came out, and she was leaning over the balcony to get the dog. He bonked her on the head, and then she fell. It's four stories in the back of that house. She smashed onto the cement patio. Lights out.
Are you sure it was Olive Pendleton?
Jack asked.
There are no calls from that part of town.
Absolutely.
Ruth nodded vigorously.
She had the blonde hair and had on the same maroon sweater she wore for her author photo on the back of her book, Blood on the Forge.
You read her books? Nans asked.
Ruth shrugged.
I read lots of books.
And you're sure she was dead?
Jack narrowed his eyes at them before looking at his computer screen again.
Ruth nodded.
As a doornail.
She never moved after that,
Nance confirmed.
Jack frowned at his screen.
When was this? I don't have any calls about anyone falling to their death.
The ladies exchanged a glance.
It was about 45 minutes ago. Surely someone would have found the body by now.
Yeah, the murderer. Probably trying to make it look like an accident.
Ida rummaged in her purse, took out the napkin, unfolded it, and broke off a small piece of scone.
My money's on the husband.
Well, of course it is, Ruth said. It usually is the spouse.
Do you think he was having an affair?
Helen asked.
Ladies, ladies.
Jack sat in the chair, his fingers clicking the keys.
Let's not speculate. That's a job for the police, right? But I don't see any call here. Are you sure you saw this happen? Maybe I should take a look at this video from the drone.
Silence. Jack's eyes narrowed.
Surely you have this incriminating video, right?
That's the other thing.
Ida pinched the crumbs from her napkin between her fingers and thumb, then tilted her head back and dropped them into her mouth.
I'd like to report a missing drone.
Wait, so you don't even have the drone?
Jack asked.
Well, I got a little nervous when we saw her fall, and my hands were a bit jittery on the controls. The drone swooped down toward the ground. I couldn't pull it up in time, and the dogs came chasing after it. The last thing I saw from the transmitter screen was the inside of a peek-a-poo's mouth.
The dog took it?
Ida grimaced.
Yeah, and I really need it back or I'm gonna be in Dutch with my grandson. Not to mention that it has the murder video on it, Nance added. It's probably lying out in the yard somewhere. So if you simply go over there and retrieve it, we can have this case wrapped up in a jiff.
Jack gestured toward the computer screen. What case? There's no police call, which means there's no body. And when there's no body, there's no investigation.
Nan's brows tugged together, her eyes flicking from the back of the monitor to Jack. But we just told you we witnessed it. Don't you believe us?
Jack sighed. It's not that I don't believe you. It's just that without probable cause, I can't go launching an investigation.
Well, you'd think our say-so would be enough to go on,
Ruth huffed. Jack leaned back in his chair and steepled his fingers.
So, let me get this straight. You have no body, no motive, and the dog ate your evidence. And you expect me to convince my boss to launch an investigation?
Well, since you put it that way, I guess it would be kind of hard to convince your boss. But we can't just let a killer get away with murder, Nan said.
Jack rose from his chair, herding them toward the door.
I'll keep my eyes peeled today and see what comes in. Maybe I'll have one of the patrol cars do a drive-by and see what's going on. Unfortunately, my hands are tied.
He pushed them out into the hallway, and Ida turned to look at him.
But what about the drone? I want to report that missing.
That's just for people, Ida, Nan said.
Okay, then, I want to report it stolen, Ida said.
Well, technically it wasn't stolen, but if you want to file a report...
Jack gestured toward the bullpen, where two uniformed officers sat.
Never mind that.
Nance took Ida's elbow and started down the hall.
That will take up too much time for nothing. We'll find the drone. Don't worry.
Mona.
Jack's stern tone stopped Nance in her tracks. She turned to look at him.
Don't go investigating this on your own now.
Oh, I wouldn't dream of it.
Nance waved a hand in the air and turned around. Jack leaned against the doorframe, his arms crossed over his chest. He looked down at Lexi.
She's gonna investigate, isn't she?
Lexi watched the backs of the ladies as they marched down the hall.
Afraid so.
Jack sighed and stepped back into his office.
Okay. All I can say is, just be careful. Judging by what you saw, there may be a clever killer on the loose. And he's not going to like four nosy old ladies and one cute baker digging into his business.